so just to complete, well, not complete, far from complete, but just to kind of round off, if you like, what we were saying before the break. Another image of the church, which St. Paul was very fond of, was the image of the temple. Now, the temple in Jerusalem, built by Solomon, consecrated by Solomon, was built to be the tabernacle of God, the place where God would dwell among his people, the dwelling place of God, the home of God. And for this reason, St. Paul says the church is like the temple. And he uses this time the image of the actual building of the church. He says that Christ is the whole thing, Christ is the whole temple, and we are the stones that make it up. So we are, he says, the living stones that make up the new temple, which is Christ. So it's just a variation on the other themes of the mystical body and the theme of the vine and the branches. Christ is a whole thing. We are parts of that whole thing. So that's, it's a profound thing. And it is at the very heart of Catholicism, this understanding of the church, what the church is. It's something utterly, absolutely sacred in the world, because it is Christ. And it is Christ in us. So we are the church. And because we are the church, the place where we meet is called the church, not the other way around. We are the church. And because we meet in that building over there, we call that building over there the church. It's called after us, not us after the church. And you'll notice in my newsletter, very often the word church comes up. And sometimes I spell it with a capital C, and sometimes with a little c. When it's spelled with when it means the building, it's spelled with a little c. But when it means the church, which is ourselves involved with Christ, the mystical church, then it's got a capital C. And you find generally that that is the case with people. They'll use a big C and a little C to describe the church. So, so we have this God-given reality in the world. It is supernatural. It's above the natural thing. And it is the reality of Christ being present in the world in and through those people who make up the people of God, make up the vine, make up the body of Christ, make up the temple, whatever image you like to think of. And so every time we go to Mass, we pray for the church. You notice in every single Mass that we go to, in the Eucharistic prayer, the very heart of the celebration, there is prayer for the church. And in the praying for the church, we pray for the Pope, the Bishop, and all God's holy people, all of us. So I stress again that we're all the church. We've all got our special jobs to do. And the Pope and the Bishops and the priests have got a particular, very important job to do in the church, but they are first and foremost like everybody else. They're members of the church. That comes first. Now, the first thing about the Pope is that he is a member of the church, and as a member of the church he's been given this special charism to be Pope, but his basic quality is that he is a member of the mystical body of Christ. And and the saints, those who've died, remain incorporated into Christ. So it's not just the church on earth, it's not just you and me and everybody else living on earth who belongs to the church. It means everyone who was, you know, a believing Christian, taking Christ seriously, receiving the sacraments, who've died. They're still incorporated into Christ. If they're still incorporated into Christ, which was the result of their baptism, if they haven't lost it, then they are members of the church. So we talk about the church on earth, that's us. We talk about the church in purgatory, the suffering church. We'll talk about purgatory in due time, and when we do, it'll make complete sense, just believe me. They're still incorporated into Christ. They're making up for their sins, but they're still incorporated into Christ, still part of the mystical body of Christ. The saints, they're still in Christ, still united to Christ, still part of the mystical body of Christ, still branches of the vine. So you have the church on earth, the church in purgatory, the church in heaven. Or, as we used to say, the church militant, the fighting church. That's us, fighting our way through life, fighting against temptation. Keeping the flag of Christ flying, the church on earth. The church suffering is the church in purgatory. The church triumphant is the church in heaven. But all three layers, if you like, is the church. Everybody, whether they're living or dead, who've been a member of the church, remain a living part of Christ's mystical body. So, in the Mass, in the heart of the Mass, which we call the Eucharistic Prayer, we always pray for the Pope and the bishops. That's the church on earth. We always pray for those who died. And we also remember Our Lady and all the saints, because we're all the church. And, of course, the most preeminent member of the church is Mary. She's a member of the church, like us. And, you know, perhaps after the title of Mother of God, that's perhaps the next great prerogative, to be part and parcel of this great thing which she helped to bring about, this presence of God in creation, this presence of Christ in the world. So Mary is a member of the church, like the rest of us. But she's the most preeminent because she had the, you know, the greatest job to do. We've all got our own jobs to do, as we've said before. We're all unique. But of course, Mary was supremely chosen to be, you know, to take on the job that she did take.